How's it going, everyone? You're listening to episode 9 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales alongside Nick Rivera, and we're going to talk some NBA Finals.
Let's do it big. This is a monumentous day. The Warriors caught a fat L. I love it.
Yeah, and it pretty much ends their dynasty run up till this point. Obviously, they didn't win back in 2016 when LeBron spoiled their
Cleveland.
Yeah, and with this finals loss, the Warriors actually don't three-peat now. And if you remember, they've won the past two championships, so they were on their way to three-peating if they were able to pull this one off. But ultimately, they couldn't do it. And if they won, that would have made it four championships in the last 5 years.
That it would. I'm glad that did not happen.
Yeah, that would just be insane. Could you imagine if they won five straight? Like if they didn't blow the 3-1 lead, and then they were coming into tonight, like this finals this year, on the road to five-peating.
Well, maybe if they had KD from the jump, but they were able to sweet talk and they're only coming for two of them.
Yeah. But now let's kind of just like talk about the games. You know, every game seems like there was a different storyline and there was just so much drama in this finals. And you know what? Like after game one, I saw a report that apparently the ratings were down compared to last year's finals. And I just think that has to do with like LeBron James obviously not being in it. And the fact there was a new team in the East that made it, so probably, and especially it was a Canadian team, so a lot of NBA fans probably didn't really watch, thinking that the Warriors were just going to run all over them. But like, including you, you actually said Warriors in four, and I actually predicted it correctly, Raptors in six. And if you don't believe us, you could check out our Twitter. My Twitter is at @officialmarkmo, or you could check the MNN Sports Talk Podcast Twitter at MN Sports Talk Pod. And there's a screenshot there of text that Nick and I were sending back and forth talking about the finals. But going back to the finals, you know, there was just a lot of drama. Each game, it seemed like there was a new storyline. And I thought it was a great finals all around. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I enjoyed seeing the Warriors struggle. I enjoyed seeing them lose. I just enjoyed every second. I was getting nervous, though. After they lost game five, I said, oh, no, they're going to choke.
You thought they were coming back?
I was convinced that the Warriors were going to come back and win in seven because, you know, that's the way life goes sometimes. But the Cards, they came out the way I wanted them.
Yeah, and I was a little worried too, especially when we'll definitely get into this more in a little bit, but when KD went down in game five and the way that the Warriors were able to just rally around the injury and like make that comeback. If the Raptors lost in game six, I thought for sure the Warriors were taking it all in game seven.
Yeah, I was just picturing it in my head and I just saw them lifting up the trophy and it made me pretty nauseous, but I'm glad Kawhi saved the day.
And what's interesting, not only has he become, I think it was the third player to win an NBA championship and a Finals MVP with two different teams. He also spoiled the Miami Heat's three-peat back in 2014. If you remember, that was when Kawhi was like 22 years old, I believe it was, or like he was very young. And he spoiled the Miami Heat's three-peat, and a few years later, he spoiled the Golden State Warriors' three-peat.
And he ended the Spurs dynasty.
Yeah.
Just by requesting a trade. Three for one. What a goat.
There's only one guy, though, that actually benefited and actually did get his three-peat. Do you know who that is?
Jeremy Lin.
No, Patrick McCaw. He was on the past 2 years when the Warriors won the championship, and now this year he was on the Raptors. So
McCaw's on the Raptors?
Yep, and he got his three-peat, straight years of the championship.
That's crazy. Jeremy Lin definitely got more minutes than him. Patrick McCaw's on the Raptors. Wait, was that... Yeah. Was McCaw the one where, like, there was someone on the Warriors, I'm pretty sure it was McCaw, where he held out for more money and got, like, less, and he was only holding out for, like, $1 million? Was that him?
I'm not too sure. I know he was kind of bouncing around after that. I'm pretty sure it had to do with something with the contract, because I remember that he was picked up by the Cavs for, like, a day.
Oh, yeah, that's
rocks.
That's right.
Yeah, and then he ultimately ended up with the Raptors. And, you know, what's crazy is that not only did he get his three-peat, but Jeremy Lin's an NBA champion, Kyle Lowry is an NBA champion, and Marcus Gasol is an NBA champion, and the Gasol brothers now become the first pair of brothers to both win NBA championships, which I think is pretty cool.
You know what the best part about it is? Kyle Lowry won a championship before CP3, Westbrook, and Damian Lillard. That just puts a smile on my face.
And Melo. I know Melo's not in the league anymore, but
that hurts.
Jeremy Lin has a ring before Melo, and if you remember, had beef when he was on the Knicks, Jeremy Lin and Carmelo Anthony. Apparently, there was this
Kennedy
beef
in Toronto.
Yeah.
I saw the funniest video on Twitter. It was Jeremy Lin NBA Finals highlight reel. Yo, dudes have no chill. It was him like pulling up armbands and checking in and dribbling. Yeah, it was top five funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't think he really played all that much. I think he just really much played in garbage time.
Yeah, he just dribbled out the clock when they were up. That was, it was top five greatness.
Yeah, and you know the most about this whole thing is that, you know, you could say what you want about DeMarcus Cousins with the whole contract, and maybe teams weren't offering him any contracts because he blew out his Achilles. But he went to the Warriors, chose to go to the Warriors to chase his ring, and look what happened. Didn't get it.
Good. Look at him. He took a huge pay cut, got more injured, and didn't get a ring. What a bum. What a bum.
Yeah, he did. That's right. He blew out his quad. Right. That was early in the playoffs. Right. Like the first round or something like that. First, second round.
This guy. That's what happened in ring chase. You join any team, join the Warriors. Look at you. All that for nothing.
Jeremy Lin has a ring before him.
Good. I'm glad. Lin's standing back.
Yeah. But like I said, there was a lot of drama. And, you know, well, let's start looking at each game and we'll kind of like point out the different things. So in game one, right, the Raptors won 118 to 109. Mm-hmm. Curry had 34, 5, and 5. Klay dropped 21. And Draymond Green got another NBA Finals triple-double with 10, 10, mm-hmm. and 10. And they pretty much struggled, the Warriors. And the biggest thing with the Warriors throughout this entire year is that they didn't really have a really good bench as they had in the past couple of years when they went to the finals. And that's because when you're paying Steph Curry $40 million a year, when you have Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, who are both due for max contracts this year, there's not a lot of money left to go out and get solid bench players. So those three guys, Curry, Klay, and Draymond Green, they were the only Golden State Warriors that scored in double digits in game one.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. Like, when I was watching it, I was like, wow, the Raptors really going to do this? And they ended up going up 1-0, and I was like, wow, this is pretty crazy. And that kind of set the tone for the whole series, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, Kevin Durant was out and didn't return until game five. But, you know, like you were saying, the Raptors, they looked really good, especially Siakam. That he had probably the best game of his entire career in game one. He dropped 32 points on 14-17 shooting, 8 rebounds and 5 assists. And Marc Gasol had a pretty decent game too. He had 20-7 as well. And that was such a great acquisition. the Raptors did to get Marc Gasol around the trade deadline from Memphis. He was such a solid player for them throughout the second half of the year, especially throughout the playoffs and the NBA Finals. And then when you have a starting center in Marc Gasol and then your backup is Serge Ibaka, that's a pretty, pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good 1-2 combo you have right there between your starter and the backup. Those two guys, they're not scrubs. They both can be starters on different teams. But, you know, that's just great. That was a great move by the Raptors to do that. And the fact that this team was pretty much thrown together this year, you know, with the trade of getting Kawhi, getting rid of DeMar DeRozan, ruining team chemistry. They got rid of Valanciunas in the trade for Gasol. And the fact that they were all able to mesh and win a championship without even playing for a full year, some of them not even playing, only playing half a year, it was just great job by them.
Yeah, I think it was like last year with the NBA Finals, with the Cavs, when they lost game one in the way they did when J.R. Smith struck. I think that if the same kind of happened to the Raptors. Like, if they didn't win game one, there was a high possibility that they wouldn't have won the series. I think game one against the Warriors is, like, a huge step. And they did it. And I think if they lost game one, it would be a different series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you 100% about last year's finals. If the Cavs were able to come out victorious, I think the Cavs would have won that series because LeBron was getting ready to have a finals like no other. He dropped 51, 8-8 in game one. And if he didn't, if J.R. Smith didn't have a bonehead play and then LeBron didn't end up breaking his hand, I think that like that would have been a finals for the ages. But yeah, so the Raptors won game one, 118-109. And like we were saying that, you know, the Warriors only had three guys in double digits. Siakam played the game of his career. And if you remember afterwards, Drake and Draymond Green kind of had like a little confrontation where I'm pretty sure Drake called him trash right after the game. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that was greatness.
Yeah, and I kind of liked how Drake was being involved. He obviously didn't go to the games that were in Golden State, but he was at Jurassic Park when they were in Golden State. And then the games that were in Toronto, he was courtside. And I know a lot of people had issues with it, but I didn't find any problem with that. I thought it was cool. You know, like, let's just say the Knicks were in that position. And then, like, you know, Spike Lee would kind of be like the super fan that's getting all involved and everything. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm glad it was Drake. That was straight jokes. I was at some points, like, I would just be staring at him when he was on TV.
Yeah. And like the way he was acting, like after the game five loss, there was this meme on the internet where he was kind of walking all depressed and then all the captions was like, that. Drake's walking away like he just played 40 minutes.
Yeah, that was hilarious. He yeah. put his all out on the court. He talks trash 24/7 the whole game.
Yep.
24/7, however long the game is. He's up there just straight in their ear. He's a true Toronto. I'm glad that his real team won the chip and he broke the curse.
And what's funny is that after they won the championship, when he was in Toronto, he already had the championship hat, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, so then we'll move ahead to game two where Golden State won 109-104. Curry dropped 23. Klay Thompson dropped 25, but then left with a hamstring injury. And Draymond Green had 17. And the difference maker in this game, in my opinion, was DeMarcus Cousins. He had 11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. And if you go back to game one, he looked so slow. He looked out of shape. He looked like he didn't belong out in the court. And I said before game one that the difference maker is going to be DeMarcus Cousins. And he proved me wrong in game one. But then in game two, he came out and had a great game. And he really proved to be the difference maker. Kawhi Leonard had 34 and 14. And everyone else in the Raptors pretty much struggled. Kawhi didn't really have much help at all in that game. But yeah, so the drama in that was the fact that Klay left with the hamstring injury.
That seemed like the whole drama of the series was something, like you said, it was something new every single game. And yeah, when I was watching that game, that the whole Raptors team, they didn't seem like the same team from game one. Like, everyone just seemed so gassed. Kawhi himself, even, he looked just so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried. I said, oh, no. I said, they only won one game. This is curtains.
Yeah.
But surprising. I thought the Raptors didn't play too well, but they only ended up losing by 5, which was really surprising to me.
Yeah, well, Kawhi, I mean, he picked it up really towards the middle to the end when he dropped 34 and 14. But, you know, everyone was making some shots. Fred Van Fleek was outstanding this entire series for the most part. What a great story for him. You know, I'm pretty sure he was like unranked coming out of high school, and then he only had 2 D1 school offers. And then I'm pretty sure he was undrafted in the NBA, and now he's one of the best 3-and-D guys the league has. But, I mean, he had a phenomenal, phenomenal series. But, obviously, you know, not everyone is going to be great every single game. Like we said, there was a lot of Raptors that struggled in Game 2 where the Golden State won. And, yeah, you know, after that series became tied 1-1, there was still the possibility of Kevin Durant returning. I mean, there was uncertainty with Klay Thompson. So I wasn't 100% sure whether or not the Warriors were actually going to be able to pull this off, especially if Klay was going to miss multiple games. But obviously, as we look ahead to game 3, the Raptors blew out the Warriors by the final score of 123-109. Klay Thompson did not play because of the hamstring injury. And Kawhi Leonard had another great game. He dropped 30, 7-6, 2 blocks and 2 steals. Kyle Lowry, who was also phenomenal this whole series. I mean, he didn't play at the level that Kawhi Leonard played, but he didn't have one of his usual playoff slumps. I mean, he started off the playoffs like kind of struggling, especially in the first round. But, you know, he picked it up slowly but surely. And in this finals, he was very, very consistent throughout the whole series. He dropped 23 and 9 assists. And Fred Van Fleek was 3-for-6 from three and hit really key shots throughout the game. Steph Curry had a career playoff high of 47 points, 8 and 7. Like I said, Klay didn't play. And the drama in this game was when Kyle Lowry dove into the stands and then got shoved by the Warriors' minority owner, who ended up getting banned from all Warriors basketball activities for a full calendar year.
Yeah, that was one of the top five moments from there. I remember like reading everything and even watching it. I was like, who is this random guy sitting in the front seat, the front court, getting all mad when someone dove on him, when that's blatantly why you sit in that spot?
I mean, if you look at the replay, Lowry didn't even land on him. He actually rocked this woman that was wearing, I believe it was like a neon green. If you go back and look, he like decked her and she flew so far back in her seat that the whole row of seats kind of lifted up if you look. And what I thought was just hysterical was that this guy that was the minority owner was 2 seats over from the seat that Lowry fell into. There was no one in the seat in between them, so I guess the woman stood up. She didn't want to get hit. He reached over, shoved him, and then quickly pulled his arms back. Like, he looked a little afraid. Like, if you go back and watch when we're done with this, and for all you listeners, if you haven't seen it or, like, you're not sure what we're talking about, go back and watch that replay. The lady in the green got rocked, fell so far back, and then the guy reached over, shoved Lowry, and quickly pulled himself back and, like, crouched in almost, like, in fetal position back into his seat.
Yeah, that was great. I was like, who is this random guy? And then I'm reading that he's a minority owner. And I said, yeah. What is this guy doing? I said, get this bum out of here.
Yeah, that was not the good thing. That was not the right move to make by him and by any NBA fan, whether you're an owner, whether you're just a regular fan, whether you're a celebrity or not. Like, that's not what you do. You sign up to sit in those seats with the possibility knowing that, you know, the ball could go into play. And then I saw different things on social media. Oh, well, it's dangerous for the fans. Like, the players should not be able to dive, or like they should just let the ball go. And I'm thinking, like, are you insane? They're playing for a championship. The championship's on the line. This is game three. You know, the series is tied 1-1. Lowry had the opportunity to save the ball. So, I mean, for me as a player, I'm definitely going to give it 110% and dive into the fifth row if I can to save the ball. Now, obviously the ball ended up hitting the ref and going out of bounds. So like the ball became Golden State's anyway. But, I mean, still, like, all these fans just judging Lowry and saying, oh, he shouldn't have dove, blah, blah, blah. Like, give me a break. The guy's playing for a championship. Let them play at 110%. If you don't want to get hit or to spill your beer or spill your popcorn or whatever, don't sit there. Simple as that.
Yeah, the best part is this dude is like a – I think he's like a billionaire or a millionaire, whatever he is. He's loaded, right?
Yeah.
And he's after this shove, he's got a Wikipedia page, and it's like, best known for shoving Kyle Lowry.
Wow.
This dude is like a billionaire, and that's what his Wikipedia page is, like two lines, and it's best known for shoving Kyle Lowry in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
What a legend.
And the guy actually got fined $500,000, but, you know, as a billionaire, that's cheap change for you. So that clearly didn't really affect him all that much.
Nice.
But, yeah, so, I mean, Curry had a phenomenal, phenomenal game. Like I said, he dropped 47. It was his playoff career high. And, unfortunately, you know, he didn't have much help. Klay Thompson didn't play. Kevin Durant obviously did not play. So, I mean, there's only so much one man can do, especially when you're not 6'8 and over 200 pounds like LeBron. But when you're a point guard and you're a phenomenal point guard at that, and you're at his size and his height, and all you can do is pretty much shoot for the most part, and that's what you're well known for. I mean, there's not much you can do other than drop 47, and they still got blown out too, which was insane.
Yeah, the crazy part is, though, like, looking back, I'm going through it, not during the whole series, there wasn't too many times where the Raptors had anyone else besides Kawhi going over 20, and that's the crazy part, that they're either in these games or they're blowing the Warriors out.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors have a lot of good role players. They have a really deep bench. Like I said, you have Marcus Gasol, your starting center, and then Serge Ibaka comes in. And just because you don't score over 20 points, as long as you get between 10 and 20, You know, that's solid for your bench play. And Fred Van Fleek, multiple times, he didn't score 20 points, but there was a time where he scored 17, a couple times where he scored 11. But those, you know, those add up over the course of a series, especially when they're big-time three-pointers. You know, like Siakam didn't have a great game every single night, but he had really big shots. He had big games where maybe he didn't score over 20, but, I mean, his presence was still known. Gasol the same way. Gasol didn't score over 20 every single game, but he hit key shots at key moments.
Yeah, that's what I was pretty shocked that they thought they played really well. I thought this is kind of how the Bucks would have matched up against them, but it seemed like the Bucks they couldn't handle the Raptors. So I guess the Raptors were the best team for the job.
Yeah, and now moving ahead to Game 4, the Raptors won 105-92. Kawhi had 36-12. He was just phenomenal this entire series. Ibaka had 20 points, and Kyle Lowry had 10, 7 assists, and 3 steals. Curry had 27, 4, and 6. And Klay Thompson, in his return, after missing just one game, dropped 28 on 6 of 10 from the 3-point line.
And still caught an L.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors, again, just played great basketball. Kawhi, man, he's going to end his career being in top 10 all time. He's just a phenomenal, phenomenal player.
Wow, hot take. I think it's a decent hot take.
And I can't remember much drama that happened in Game 4. Do you remember anything that really pretty much stood out to you?
Yeah, the Raptors going up 3-1. Well, I was what?
But, yeah, I guess. Yeah, they did go up 3-1 after that. And then that brings us to Game 5, where Golden State won 106-105. Kevin Durant made his return after missing, I think it was like 10 or 11 straight games due to a right calf strain. He had 11 points. He was 3 from 3 from the 3-point line right before, I think it was in 12 minutes that he played. And then, obviously, he ended up going down with a right Achilles injury that ended up coming out a few days later saying that it was a ruptured Achilles. So, unfortunately for KD and unfortunately for the Warriors, he's going to be out all of next year, whether he stays with Golden State or not. But we'll get more into that a little bit later. Steph Curry had 31, 8, and 8. Just, again, you know, Curry quietly almost averages a triple-double, man. He's always at, like, around 20 to 30 points and always has over 6 rebounds and 6 assists, but no one really talks about that. Another game where he dropped 31, 8, and 7. And Klay Thompson had 26 and 6. Kawhi Leonard, 26, 12, and 6. And if you remember, he went on that crazy run. I think he scored, like, 10 straight points in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter or something like that. Kyle Lowry had 18 and 6 assists. And Fred Van Vliet had 11 points, but he was 3 for 6 from the 3-point line. And if you remember, Kawhi, on that last possession, Kawhi Leonard had the ball when they were down by 1. I think, like, the shot clock was expired. He immediately got double-teamed. He kicked it out to, I think it was Fred Van Vliet, and then he swung it around to Kyle Lowry, who had the 3-point shot to win the championship in the corner in Toronto. Ultimately, it was blocked by Draymond Green and didn't even come close to hitting the rim, but that was just a great, great game all around, and I loved how the Warriors were able to rally around Kevin Durant's injury, especially Toronto fans were cheering and clapping when KD went out.
Yeah, as I was watching that game, I saw, like, it was, I could still picture it in my head. It was crazy. So KD, he was dribbling right there, like, yep, on the right-hand arc, and yep, I said, man, this guy, I feel like, I said, watch this. I have a feeling this guy is going to, like, tear his ACL or something. And as soon as I said that, he picked up his dribble and tried to do a little cross, and he landed on his leg, and it blew out his Achilles. And I said, it was, like, the craziest timing. And he just sat down. I said, whoa. I said, no way. That is crazy. And, like, I saw the fans cheering. That was great. That was messed up. I was saying, these – who knew Canadians were ruthless? I thought they were supposed to be, like, crazy nice.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty ruthless. And then I said, watch, now they're cheering him get injured. Now they're going to blow this. They're going to blow this game. And then the last seconds, I said, yes, Kawhi. And as soon as he passed, I said, no.
Yeah, he should have taken that shot.
Then it got swung to Lowry. I said, no, anyone but Lowry. And I don't care what anybody says. Draymond touched out with his fingernail, and Kyle Lowry hit the side of the backboard. I don't care. That was not blocked. Get out of here.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was definitely tipped. You could see the picture of his hand on the ball. I mean, it was a good shot, But, you know, when the champ,
Ben Simmons would have hit rim.
With the championship on the line, with the chip on the line like that, Kawhi Leonard needs to have the ball in his hands. I don't care if he was double teamed, triple teamed, or the whole defense was on him. If all five of them are guarding him, I don't care. Kawhi Leonard is the best player on the court at that moment in time. He should have taken that last shot. Even if he wanted to pass it out, there would have been plenty of time for him to run around and somehow get over. You didn't need a three-pointer there. You were down by one, so Kawhi could have gotten to any point on the anywhere on the court and quickly threw up a shot. But obviously, that's not. But, you know, I don't give Kawhi Leonard a pass on that one. I mean, obviously they won the championship, so it doesn't matter. But looking back, he definitely needed to take that shot.
Yeah, man. As soon, like I said, as soon as he passed it, like I physically cringed. I said, "No, what are you doing?" Yeah. I just wanted him to just throw it up. I said, you're the best hope. Just throw it up.
So Golden State ended up winning game five, like we were saying. They came within two games of making an historic comeback to being the second team in NBA history to come back from down 3-1. So they had the series at 3-2, and then they head back to Oakland for game six, where the Raptors won their first title in franchise history by the final score of 114-110. Siakam had a great game, 26-10. Leonard had 22-6. Kyle Lowry had 10 assists and 3 steals. And Fred VanVleet had 22 on 5 of 11 3-point shooting. You know, this was a solid game. Obviously, there was no Durant. And DeMarcus Cousins didn't really do much other than game two when he had that, when he was like the difference maker, like how we were talking about. But going into half, I'm pretty sure Kawhi had like 9 points or something like that. And I was just thinking, like, you're not going to win this game if Kawhi is not going to become more aggressive on the offensive end. I mean, he's a great defender, but I don't remember exactly. But I remember at some point, he was either in the second quarter or maybe early in the third where he only had 9 points. And I was thinking, like, this lead's only going to last so long with you not really scoring. But, you know, the big thing that came out of this game, too, is the fact that Klay Thompson – landed awkwardly on his knee and ended up tearing his ACL. And I don't know if after that play, Danny Green was trying to do a chase down block on Klay Thompson. Didn't really hit into his body all that much. It was just Klay Thompson just landed awkwardly. It was just one of those things. But at the moment, a lot of people started drawing at Danny Green, thinking that he, you know, did it on purpose and it was like a dirty play. Steph Curry was at the other end of the court, and once he saw Klay go down, he slammed the ball on the ground in frustration and just sat there. But Klay started walking down the tunnel, and someone told him, like, look, if you want to come back, you got to hit your free throws. So he pulled his inner Kobe, jogged back onto the court, hit his two free throws, and tried to do some jumping jacks prior to that just to see how he felt. But he was able to do jumping jacks. He jogged. He ran back onto the court. And he hit his two free throws, but ultimately came out of the game.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch this game. Yeah, pretty tragic. But I was at work, and I was sitting there, and I remember my phone just started blowing up. I got like 5 to 6 messages, like from different people, all at the exact same time that Klay got injured. I said, "Whoa." I said, what is going on right now? I said, what is in the Warriors' juice right now? And then it's just crazy because it seems like a lot of the Warriors' title runs and the championships, it involved other teams' injuries, and everyone likes to bring them up, including myself. But it's just crazy how for the first time they're the ones getting hit with all these different injuries, and it seemed like it was just like one after the other, like nonstop. Like they had Looney, they had KD, they had and now Klay. I was like, geez, man.
Yeah, I forget Kevin Looney or Kayvon Looney, however you say his first name, but the broken collarbone. But he ended up coming back and played. But I mean, obviously, he wasn't the same player with a broken collarbone. But I forgot about that too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and then I was after that. I said, "Oh, they got this in the bag." But then I was getting anxious. I said, "Yo, if they can't beat the Warriors without KD or without Klay, I said it's a wrap." And they ended up closing it out, clutch.
Yeah, once Klay got out, you know, they were just double teaming Curry for the rest of that game. They were not letting him get any open shots, but Curry had a chance to, I think, take the lead or tie the game late in that quarter. He had an open three, but it seems like he was just short. It hit the front of the rim, and obviously they didn't get the rebound after that. But if you go back and watch the replay on that last shot, after he said it kind of looks like he kind of gave up on the play, and it looks like he could have dove or at least tried to get the rebound because the ball went all the way back towards almost half court, and he kind of really just stood there and watched the ball bounce all the way to half court, and then ultimately the Warriors started calling timeout. They didn't have any more timeouts, and then ultimately they had the technical because of that. So when that happens, a situation like that, the Raptors got an extra free throw and then ultimately got the technical free throw and gets possession of the ball. So that's how they ended up going up by four.
Yeah, man. It was – I'm gonna say some controversial
hot take. What's up?
Without a supporting cast, Curry would not win no rings. That man is not clutch. Like, for example, the last game in the fourth quarter, it's at home. It's the last game in Oracle. The championship on the line. You ready for this stat line? 4 points. 1 for 6 from the field. 0 for 4 from three. And a missed game.
Wow.
Dang. If that was any other superstar, if that was Kawhi,
that was LeBron.
If that was KD, if that was LeBron. Yo, you would not hear the end of it. But because it's Steph Curry and we must protect him at all costs, we never talk about how he plays no defense. And when he's all by himself on the court, that man is not clutch.
I saw a stat today that Steph Curry, in his playoff career, in the last 20 seconds, a go-ahead or a game-time shot, he is 0-for-9 on those shots with 20 seconds left. 0-for-9.
Bum. Everyone's trying to anoint him the greatest. I mean, I could support the greatest shooter of all time.
Yeah, he definitely is.
But player, I don't know, Chief. 3 chips and he's supposed to be the best player on his team. No finals MVP. Boom. Not when it comes most, he hides. He just shoots threes in the first quarter that don't really matter. But when it comes to the fourth quarter, disappears.
And I saw this stat today. I don't know if this is 100% accurate or not, but in the final 24 seconds of the fourth quarter of OT since 2001, LeBron James is 9 for 21, 42.9%. And then there's Kobe, KD, Ginobili, and Paul Pierce, all either 4 for 15, 4 for 13, or 4 for 12. And then you have Harden, 1 for 9, Tim Duncan, 1 for 9, Chauncey Billups, 3 for 9, and Steph Curry, 0 for 9. And the next one that doesn't have any that is like an 0 for something is Russell Westbrook, who is 0 for 7. So it's just crazy how, like, the narratives change, how LeBron is not clutch, but here we go. He has the best average out of all the players I just named and he is by far the most. He has 5 more field goals made than any of the other players I just mentioned. And then you have someone like Steph Curry, who's 0 for 9, who's, like you just said, it's not really talked about as much.
Then the crazy part is, oh, I have one more hot take. Hot take. I'd rather have Clay than Steph.
Yeah, I agree.
Steph plays absolutely. My son is out here guarding Fred VanVleet. Get me out of here. And on certain nights, Clay could, if Clay's by himself or he's not like on the Warriors where like there's so many options, I feel like he could do the same. Like say Steph and Clay switched and Clay's the number one option. I feel like he could pretty much do the same thing offensively as Curry. But, I mean, he can't really dribble as well. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he puts up his points. And his defense, like, the difference between Steph and Clay's defense is way bigger than compared to their offense. So, like, when you're balancing them out, like, I'd just rather have Clay. Like, I don't know.
No, I can see your point. But the only argument I have about you saying a little before you said that, it just shows, like, Steph Curry won't be able to carry a team like that when he's all by himself. So you said something along those lines. My only argument with that is that this year's Warriors bench, especially, was not as deep as they were in years past because of the fact that there's a lot of money being put in other players, a lot of their other big players. So I think it's a little unfair to say this year. I would like to see Steph Curry alone, but with better role players around him, the way LeBron had better role players around him for the most part of his tenure in Cleveland up until the last year. But no, I mean,
what?
Steph Curry with a bunch of bums on your bench, of course you're not going to play well. But if you have Steph Curry with average to a little bit above average role players and bench players, I think the outcomes will be a little bit different than Steph with a bunch of bums. Because this
now
is not as deep as they were in the.
Now they got bums on their bench. Here we go.
I mean, that's been the thing all year, especially when, you know, one of their big three were out. You know, like, they weren't – their bench that's been a storyline. That's not new. Everyone has known that their bench wasn't as deep this year as years past.
Well, that's what happens when you start paying dudes $40 million a year. Everyone knew it was going to happen. They thought they were nice. And look at them. No ring.
Yeah. But so, obviously, the Raptors ended up winning. What were you going to say?
I said, I have this other thing that I saw that I thought was pretty interesting. It was like if you see a lot of people that are supporting the Warriors complaining about injuries, and they're like, "Oh, just think about this," and it was pretty crazy how during the first run, with the Cavs, you had Kyrie getting injured. Then you had when they played the Celtics. You remember when, I think, was it Linick? He just pulled out Kevin Love's
shoulder. Yeah, that came first, though. And then Kyrie broke his kneecap in the finals.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And then think about last year. The Rockets are up in the series, and Chris Paul goes down. And then they end up losing.
And you remember when Kawhi Leonard was on the Spurs still, and then he landed on Zaza Pachulia? Yep.
Then you mean Zaza landed on him.
Well, yeah.
And there you go. It just seems like every time they played someone else, like, that's what I was saying earlier. Like, everyone always got injured, and the cards always landed in their favor. And it wasn't like it was to their advantage, but that's just how it worked out. And it seemed like every time that they were either had a chance of losing, or there was a threat of losing, something just went their way in the terms of injury. And now this is the first final where it kind of seemed like it went against them, and now everyone's moaning and complaining about that. But everyone has a short
memory. Yeah, and I saw something too that's saying if the Raptors win the series, do you put an asterisk next to their name because the Warriors? You could put an asterisk next to almost every single Warriors championship because of what you just said. Yeah, it's nuts. But so the Raptors ended up winning the series 2 in 6 games. Now, what's next for Golden State? You know, Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are both free agents this summer. There was a lot of speculation that Kevin Durant was going to leave Golden State, obviously, before his injury. With both of them out for either the entire year or for the most part of next year, it's going to be interesting to see what Golden State does. Now, before Klay Thompson tore his ACL, I thought he was definitely going to re-sign with Golden State. I thought there was no way that they were going to lose him because they're good friends. Their dads are good friends. Obviously, they're the Splash Brothers. They have a lot of history. And the Warriors, without Kevin Durant, were a 73-win team. And obviously, they had their bench was phenomenal then. But team, even without Kevin Durant, I don't think the torn ACL changes anything. I think Klay Thompson is going to stay and re-sign with the max contract with Golden State. Now, the only thing I have to say with Kevin Durant is before he tore his Achilles, I thought for sure that, you know, win or lose, that he was going to leave. The Warriors, I really thought for sure if they would have won without him, that he would definitely leave because then his legacy would be tainted. And I thought that there was going to be a slightly less of a chance if they were to lose because of the fact, obviously, they lost. Kevin Durant didn't play if he didn't play at all. But now that he tears his ACL, that changes a lot of things because I just saw something today that apparently him and Klay were talking about unfinished business. I don't know how true that is, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think Kevin Durant, I think there's a better chance of him staying and re-signing with Golden State than leaving now because of this ACL. I mean, this Achilles tear.
Yeah, I don't see him leaving anymore. I think he'll stay and he'll rehab and come back and try to win more championships hiding behind Steph and Klay.
Yeah, but now looking ahead to next year with Golden State, let's just say that they re-sign both those players, KD and Klay Thompson. Obviously, Kevin Durant will be out for the entire year, So you won't see him again until the 2020-2021 season. Thompson, I read somewhere that he might be able to come back like around March or whatever. But let's just say that he comes back for the playoffs, right? Because ACL tears are easier to come back from than Achilles tears. And with the technology now, the worst possible thing a basketball player can get. And years ago, it used to be the ACL, but now that almost seems like normal now in today's day. But let's just say they re-sign them both and Klay comes back for the playoffs. I don't see Golden State making another championship run. I think this is going to be like an off year for them just because of the injuries. But I think years after that, with the healthy Klay and KD, I think then, you know, their dynasty will continue. But I think next year is going to be an off year. I think for the first time in a very, very long time, regardless of what happens in free agency for all the other teams, I think the NBA is the most open it's ever been in years, even before the Miami Heat days.
Yeah, man. This kind of changes everything. I feel like everyone has a shot now. Depending on what Kawhi does, I think that the East is open, the West is open, and it's basically anyone's game. It's going to be interesting because I don't think when KD comes back, he's going to be the same player. I think that Achilles, because you got to remember, this dude's a big man. He's like 7'1".
Yeah.
He's not like an average guard. And so I think that this will, I mean, it helps that he's not very heavy, so he doesn't have a lot of weight on his joints.
Yeah, like DeMarcus.
Yeah, but I think when he comes back, I feel like he's still going to be great, but I don't think he's going to be the same player.
Yeah, and I agree, because if you look at the history of NBA players who have suffered this injury, for the most part, they don't really come back and are the same player than they were before the injury. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if he's able to come back and even be somewhat of half of what he was.
I guess only time will tell, and I mean, KD's a snake, but if he came to the Knicks, he was going to be my snake.
Yeah.
And it looks like that's not happening no more.
I will say, there's still some hope. I wouldn't mind if the Knicks threw him the he set out all year next year because of the injury, obviously. I wouldn't mind that. But I don't think he's going to come alone now, especially with the injury. But
yeah.
And then, for last but not least, what is Kawhi going to do now that he won the championship in his first year with Toronto? He's obviously a free agent, too, after this year. And me personally, I think he'd be a fool to leave Toronto. He's a god up there now. And what's to say that they're not going to be able to continue to win championships? Because right now, the way the East is constructed, you know, the 76ers are going to look different next year. The Bucks might be the same Bucks, but then the Nets, the Knicks, they might all look different. But for the most part, you know, the East is his now, and people have to go through him. So I think he'll be a fool to leave. And right now, as the East is currently constructed, his only competition is just Giannis Antetokounmpo. Which he handled
and
perfectly.
Already watched him. Yeah, I think that I don't know. I feel like he wants to leave, but he was like, "Man, I really just want to chip and beat the Warriors." That was kind of light.
Yeah, well, they were also hurt. but he still beat them.
All right, here we go. Now they were hurt. But all I'm saying is, I think that he. I don't know. I feel like now that he won, I feel like there's a greater chance that he'll stay. But I feel like it's 50-50 because, I don't know, I feel like Kawhi's a wild card. He could do anything.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that the Raptors won, because I think that it'll start to change this narrative that you need all these superstars to win a chip. Like, they just did it with Kawhi and Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's so annoying when teams obsess over signing max players and having like nobody on the bench. Like, they have Jeremy Lamb on the bench. Like, that's gonna do anything.
Yeah. And
like, it's just so infuriating. I think you just build a team with good players, and then that's how you win chips. And the Raptors just showed that, like, they won a chip with Kyle Lowry. That's all.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I bring that up, you know, this is the first time in a long time that an NBA team won with only one legitimate superstar. So I like to your point, what you just said, I think the Raptors just proved that you don't need super teams to win in the NBA. Like, you know, granted, obviously the finals might have been a little different with 100% healthy KD, with 100% healthy Klay Thompson, might have been a little different. Who knows? You can't keep going back, you know, years from now and saying, you know, oh, well, you know, they were hurt, so who knows what happened. Whatever, the Raptors won. But they showed you that you don't need a super team to win anymore. And who knows, maybe this is the end of the super team era. And we could go back to normal basketball where every team has one superstar, maybe two. Well, most
I think people like DeMarcus Cousins will continue to take pay cuts and ring chase.
Well, there'll always be those players like Melo kind of did at the end of his career. But for the most part, I think that's the end. I think now everyone's going to take the Toronto Raptors model.
Wait a minute. I will not stand for this Melo slander. First, when he was with the Knicks, he was overpaid. But then when he takes less money, now he's ring chasing. I will not stand for this.
The two teams he jumped to, well, I mean, obviously OKC he was traded to. But then he jumped to the Rockets, the Rockets were the only real threat to the Warriors. So that doesn't seem like a ring chase.
Now he jumped to the Rockets. Who else was signing him? Who?
Yeah, I guess.
He still hasn't gotten signed. I will not stand for this Melo slander.
Yeah. Well, if the Knicks are able to get KD and another superstar, I wouldn't mind having Melo come on on a vet minimum bench role. But obviously, like we mentioned in previous podcasts, he can't come in thinking he's still a superstar and taking 30 shots a game. He's got to know his role.
Yeah, he can. That's my Melo.
Well, thank you all for listening to episode 9 of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. Don't forget to check our Twitter at MN Sports Talk Pod and our Instagram at MN Sports Talk Pod. And you can follow me as well at Official Mark Mo.
Don't follow him.
But yeah, so everyone have a great time. And now the real NBA season begins, the off season. And in just in a few days, the NBA draft will take place. And shortly after, on June 30th at 6 p.m., that's when all the business gets started. That's when the NBA offseason officially begins. So it's going to...
I can't wait till the next draft of nobody.
So that's going to be it's going to be a great summer for the NBA. And this offseason could pretty much change the landscape of the NBA for years to come.